Welcome back to Ping. This is episode
76.
76?
B.
My B. Inside joke there. My favorite gas station.
Yeah?
76. Yeah, they make really cool jackets.
Really? Because yeah. I kind of like Shell and Chevron because they put cleaners in there.
No, no, no. I used to like Hess because the owner of Hess owned the New York Jets. Are you ready for some football? But no longer does, so now I like cool jackets. 76.
Oh, okay.
A little trivia for you there. Anyway, we
Wasn't
got a lot
that
of...
also the year really, really cool people were born?
It is also the year really cool people were born. Thanks for remembering that, Paul. We're not saying who. Just some cool people might have been born in 1976. So before we get to the show, we wanted to thank you all for commenting. I had a lot of comments on the new site.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I think people are liking it. We've got a couple bugs we're still working out until it flows as smoothly as we'd like. But
bugs it's, like the Halloween video last year?
That was a good video.
Yeah.
That was a good video.
It was scary.
Wait with bated breath for this year's Halloween video, because it's going to be...
I hope it's a Twilight theme. I really hope it's a Twilight theme.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's definitely not. So, blah, 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 the site. We wanted to congratulate Paul on his successful cheating during our Scrabble match.
Yeah.
That was it was really good. I didn't even notice how you were sneaking tiles the entire time.
Yeah, well, you know, after I would play a seven-letter word, I would grab seven tiles out of the tile sack. So,
right. The tile sack that he brought, and I did not check, you know.
I mean, you also drew from the same tile sack.
I believe they were weighted.
I really
had something going on.
I really don't think it was cheating. It's just a matter of, you know, being really good at Scrabble, you know, memorizing all the two-letter words and all the words
and
with Q without
I went ahead and wasted my youth memorizing all the four-letter words.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so there you go.
Like lose, because that's what you did.
Anyway,
well.
Because of the fascinating Scrabble match that we aired, someone on our board, was it Dino?
Yeah, Dino said that he'd love to play Halo with the hosts.
Okay. Dino, play Halo with the hosts. A lot of O's there.
Yeah.
So we're going to make that happen. So stay tuned.
We'll figure out how. And IRB said, good show, maybe next time, Laura.
Maybe. Maybe I, too, will come prepared with my cheating snatchel of letters.
Snatchel. Okay. Let's get this show started. You know what I hate, Laura?
A lot of things, Paul.
Yeah, lots and lots of things.
I might be one of them.
Yes. Right now, we're approaching that. Idle hands, Laura. I hate idle hands. Just
okay.
Like just being there and like not doing
so
anything.
So you
got to
always keep your hands moving.
That's right,
Paul.
Yeah, always keep my hands moving.
Just going.
Yep, all the time. You know what Microsoft hates?
Idle hands, Paul.
Idle cycles in CPUs.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
So what we've
Equally
done?
Equally dangerous.
Yeah, it's just leveraging just so much potential talent of all these client machines out there. But now we have a solution for it.
Okay.
The solution is Windows HPC Server 2008 R2.
Sexy name, Paul.
Super sexy.
Super sexy name. And so what is this, what does it do exactly?
So HPC is high performance computing. And historically it's always been like a huge cluster of server machines that will take like this big pool of work, break it down to like little itty bitty pieces, and then have each server node just kind of calculate on that and then increase the knowledge of the common pool.
Okay.
Now with Windows HPC Server 2008 R2, we're actually able to take advantage of idle time from Windows 7 client PCs.
Okay.
So that way, if you're in a domain, you can have all of these Windows 7 machines report into the HPC cluster and just kind of send data down to that.
So like the computer's just sitting there doing nothing.
Right. So like in the hundreds of thousands of PCs that we have here at Microsoft, if we wanted to have those all help out for like some common good, we would actually be able to do that with this HPC server.
And it sounds to me like this is great. There's no reason not to do this. If your computer's not otherwise occupied, take the processing power that isn't being used and help out the team.
Yeah, so there are some reasons why you might not want to do it, like for energy consumption, for example, because if your CPU utilization is going up, then you know you're using some more electricity.
Right.
They actually had mentioned in this article that if you do have your computer that's in a sleep mode, the functionality doesn't exist for the cluster today to wake up your computer and start using the idle cycles
Cool, so you can sort of manage how much electricity it's used. I mean, if it's off, it's off.
Right.
It won't turn it on.
Yep, but they're looking at it in future versions to possibly have the option to turn one of those things on. But they gave a really cool example here about a complicated Excel spreadsheet that had like 1,400 really complicated rows that needed to be calculated.
Yeah.
And on a single machine, it took 14 hours to do all those calculations. But once we put it into the HPC cluster,
yeah,
and use the power of all these different nodes, the calculations went down to 3 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big improvement.
280x.
I mean, I did it in a minute on my own.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty impressive. All my servers.
You just like double click the
just
final.
I fell off the box.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. So this is exciting news for businesses.
Yeah,
I mean,
businesses.
I'm not going to take advantage of this as Laura Foy individual.
Right. Because you can do it all yourself.
I can do it by myself.
But yeah, the target market for this has historically been large organizations, universities, scientific communities, and now Microsoft is actually trying to lower the bar for that. So not only serve those customers, but make it more broadly available for like mid-market businesses. So
awesome!
This is actually a lot of cool stuff, and I can't wait for some more fact-finding missions with hundreds or thousands of nodes.
And I'm looking forward to it too. All right, Paul, as we know, now that you are a reputable tweeter, you've joined the forces in the land of tweeting. There's a lot of other ways where people like to get their social network information from. You know, we've got Facebook,
uh-huh,
we've got YouTube,
uh-huh,
there's LinkedIn, there's a lot of different social networking sites, and there's a lot of different ways that you can get these all together, and Seismic is a desktop application that sort of combines all of these resources into one very swallowable palette of contacts, information, feeds. Why are you looking at me like that?
I was just trying to like decode that. You said that I'm tweeting all the time, which is factually incorrect.
I
only retweet.
Okay, I know.
Yeah, yeah. So I think everybody knows that.
You've entered the world of Twitter, is what I was going for.
Yeah. So does answer me this one question.
All right.
Does Seismic allow me to retweet more efficiently?
I would say yes.
Okay.
And I would
I'm sold then.
I would say yes because it gives you it's very organized manner, which gives you your Twitter information.
Mm-hmm.
Where previously, if you had to go maybe to the Twitter page and you get it all clustered, and you have to have all these different applications open.
Yeah.
But I'm not just here to talk about the application of Seismic, which actually has been around. We're here talking about Seismic Desktop 2.
Oh, yeah.
The latest version?
The reason we're talking about it is because it's built on top of Silverlight 4.
There we go.
Nice.
Bring it on home.
Very nice. Yeah, so Silverlight 4 is, they're actually showcasing a lot of features that we have in Silverlight 4, namely the out-of-browser experience.
Yes.
So they're able to take this code base, and instead of just having it run inside a browser, it can actually run the desktop, which enriches the experience that customers can have because they can do things like drag and drop.
Mm-hmm.
And it also runs not only on Windows, but it runs on Mac OS X.
Yep, and soon, very exciting, it should be very easily portable to Windows Phone 7.
Yeah, yes.
Which is awesome.
Yeah,
which is awesome. And the Windows Phone already is really entrenched with social networking, and this is just another application that'll simplify that.
Yeah, they actually have a YouTube video out there with about 50,000 views that shows what the experience could be like. I think it's just a really great story for our developers out there that want to consider building new applications and have Silverlight and different types of ways that they can make a user interface and have it very easily portable from one platform like the Windows, mm-hmm, to Windows Phone 7.
Awesome. Yeah. So check it out. Seismic D2.
All right, so talking about how Seismic can be ported to Windows Phone 7.
Yes.
Kind of a touchy subject for me right now. A little bit touchy. I just read an article saying that Microsoft is releasing with GSM-based phones first.
Correct.
And then CDMA-based phones second.
Yes.
And the CDMA-based phones will not make calendar year 2010. So
right.
That means me as a Verizon subscriber, I will not get my hands on a Windows Phone 7 until 2011.
Well, you'll get your hands on my phone.
Oh.
You can touch my phone.
Yeah.
Because I will have one launch day.
Yeah?
Yes.
But it won't be running on the
Verizon
network.
It won't be running on the Verizon network. But, this is something that it's not that uncommon, and it's a very logical choice Microsoft to make this.
I totally understand Microsoft's appeal to the GSM-based market because that means many, many more tens of millions of people across the world will have access to this immediately.
Right. You know, some other phones that have launched just launched on one network.
That's right.
So, and never left that one network.
That's very true.
So this would be better.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, we're very clear that we do want to get into the CDMA-based networks.
And it's not that long to wait. And we were talking about this earlier. You know, the fact that there will be so many different devices that you can have, and yet as a developer, your application is going to run the exact same on every device with one set of code,
right?
You know, which is good news for developers. There's going to be a little bit of you're going to have to wait to get it on every single phone,
right?
But the experience in the long run leaps and bounds ahead.
Yeah. I'm still looking forward to it. Just it's a little pain in my side.
Just but, like me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I will be more when I show you my phone.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're covering the launch.
Yeah. All right, Paul. So for those of us who don't have Nav in our car, I don't have Nav.
Yeah, neither do I.
I'm not that fancy. What I normally do is I go online, and I have to go to Bing Maps, and I type in the address, and then I print it out. And it's a little bit of a cumbersome process.
Right.
But now it has just been simplified.
Oh, has it?
It has.
How has it been simplified?
Well, there is a printer out there. It's the HP Photo Smart E all-in-one printer.
Yep.
I don't know who's coming up with these sexy, sexy names.
Probably the same people that came up with Windows XP Professional Embedded Edition Service Pack 3.
Yeah, probably. And what it has on the printer, it has Bing Maps embedded, right?
Yeah.
Would embedded be the right word?
Yeah, it's either embedded or you can use it from the printer.
Right, so you don't even have to go, to your computer and then send it to the printer. It's right there on the printer dashboard.
So that way you can use an incredibly tiny interface to go through and print off some directions.
Yeah.
Instead of using another tool like a completely unproductive PC where you just type something in and you hit the print button.
Right. Now, that's unnecessary.
Right,
now.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to do that.
Now you can try and play with something.
That's right.
To print off directions. So instead of paying like a monthly subscription for a phone with GPS where it will give you turn-by-turn directions, you could pay a monthly subscription for ink and print this.
A monthly subscription for ink?
Yeah, I mean, I always I don't ever use the ink enough that I always have to go out and buy more ink, and it's just, I don't know. Printers to me are a thing of the past. And
well, I agree. You should go green. You can save paper. But there are times where I need to have the directions in my hand.
Yeah,
and I'm just saying.
I'm the same way because I don't have my Windows Phone 7 yet.
That's right.
So I do think that this is kind of cool. I haven't played with it yet, so I don't know how easy it is.
I'm just saying it's a cool way to integrate Bing into products. You know, there's another cool way that Bing was integrated. Did you watch the Colbert Show?
The Colbert Report?
Yeah. Yeah.
I am a fan, but I still don't have cable, so.
Right. Well, we did a story, we're segueing now. We did a story a while back on how the Bing team offered Stephen Colbert a certain amount of money, I forget.
Yeah.
And we're going to give
every time he said Bing.
Every time he said Bing, and it was going to go to some charity.
Yep.
Right?
Well, it's like Gulf Relief.
Still sponsored by Bing. They had on the CEO of Google,
Eric Schmidt.
And Stephen Colbert introduced him as,
he's like, this is the CEO of Google.
And I know that
because I looked it up on Bing.
Very funny.
So the Bing team is definitely finding like out of the box ways to try and get the name out there. So
and every morning when I drive, my radio station is sponsored by Bing. They're constantly telling me to go Bing things.
Oh.
So we're out there.
That's awesome.
All right, in years past, we had a host named Max. Max is now gone, but one of the things that live on in the legacy of Max is his love and passion for Zune.
Yeah, he did. He
loved the Zune.
He had so many Zunes, it was ridiculous.
He had multiple Zunes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know that he was a firm believer in the subscription-based, acquiring of music.
Yep.
And we've had a few complaints that the Zune Pass was not available enough in enough locations in enough countries.
It was a U.S.-only based subscription,
right? And so we would come on here and we would talk about it, and everyone would be like, "I can't get it where I am," and that was bad.
Yeah, it was.
But now it's not that bad anymore.
Yeah, so their Zune is expanding their services to many more countries.
Finally.
So, for example, the Zune Pass you can get now in the UK, France, Italy, and Spain.
excellent news for all of you.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. Now, it's not the exact same subscription that we have here in the U.S. Like, here in the U.S., I believe you get 5 or 10 free songs every month that you actually get to keep even after your subscription runs out.
Right. I think it's 5, but yeah.
I think it's actually 10 tracks per month.
All right.
I thought you had it all figured out.
But over in the U.K., I don't think that they'll actually be able to keep tracks afterwards. So it's just a subscription fee that they pay where they can still access, you know, millions of tracks, and they can use it so long as their subscription is still intact.
Cool.
And that means that you can also you can purchase music in UK, France, Italy, Spain, and Germany. So Germany doesn't have the actual subscription pass, but you can download music from the Zune marketplace.
Per download paying, yeah.
And you can even do like video purchases from the Zune marketplace in the UK, France, Germany,
Italy, Spain.
Canada. No Italy or Spain this time.
Oh, right.
So what I'm kind of getting at here is like we are expanding out more worldwide with these things, but it's kind of a fragmented offering. So
yeah, it's an interesting approach.
Yeah,
I'm not sure of the rationale there.
I think it's like we want to get to as many countries with the features we can as quickly as we possibly can.
Right.
But it might just be a little confusing at first to find out what all services are available in your country.
Right.
And then I'm sure that once we start going worldwide and we start building the businesses around this, which makes sense now that we're getting Windows Phone 7 out there in all these different countries, so that people will be able to access the music and have it on a portable device that's not just a Zune.
Right.
Like it's actually going to be the phone, so we really have that many millions of more units to put our subscription and our music and our videos on. So I think that this is a good thing, but it's a little shaky at first.
Right. It's like hey, not a full right?
Yeah. Well, it's getting there.
It's getting there. So I said yet.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll look forward to seeing how this progresses over the next couple of years.
All right, everybody. That is our show this week. I did want to mention nothing to do with Ping or Microsoft or really anything. But interesting, nonetheless, is that one of the top entertainment apps in the... What are you looking at? In the iPhone...
I'm waiting for it. I'm on the edge of my seat.
I know. In the iPhone market was... That's my drum roll cue. The Mike the Situation application.
Mike the Situation?
Mike the Situation
from the Jersey Shore.
Fist pumping from the Jersey Shore. It helps you find places to GTL, otherwise known as Gym Tan Laundry. And it's a great application. And apparently, it is skyrocketing with downloads.
Yeah.
You love it.
Not only is it skyrocketing with downloads, but I think it's also $5.
Yeah, you gotta pay for it.
People pay $5.
You gotta pay for it.
For this.
It's amazing. And that just shows why he's got that many fans. That's why he wasn't voted off Dancing with the Stars this week. Remember when we watched that together?
Oh, that's. I was gonna ask you about Dancing with the Stars.
I know. We'll watch it again at my house. Popcorn on me.
Okay.
All right, well, until then. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.